That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
While many Kiwis took the Christmas period as a time of respite and relaxation, the bombardment of Gaza by Israel continued. After just over 100 days of bombardment, it is estimated that nearly 24,000 Palestinians have died, with over 2 million people being displaced from their homes as a result of the conflict. I spoke to the National Coordinator of Palestinians in Aotearoa, Dr. Ahmed Sada, for an update on the situation in Gaza.
Today marks the almost 101 days since Israel started its genocide in Gaza. Israel has bombed and attacked so far Gaza for, again, over 100 days, killing over 24,000 Palestinians. Two-thirds of them are believed to be women and children. 8,000 people are still under the rubble. We don't know whether they're alive or not, and this is actually this is a disaster, because these 8,000 people are dying slowly, many of them under the rubble, if they have not died already. Israel dropped over the last few weeks more than 65,000 tons of bombs on the besieged Gaza and its population of 2.3 million people, who are trapped in less than 56 square kilometers. This is almost the size of Invercargill, and you're talking about 2.3 million people. So it's almost the population of Auckland, Northland, and the North Shore altogether. Just imagine all these people are trapped in a city that is as small as Invercargill, and 65,000 tons of explosives are dropped over them. This is equal, 65,000 tons of explosives equal to 3 nuclear bombs. So you can probably imagine now the amount of destruction and killing that happened over the last few weeks. And Israel has not spared anything from the bombing. So it dropped bombs on refugee camps, on hospitals, schools, churches, mosques, entire neighborhoods, all of which have been destroyed and wiped. Over 60,000 people, we're talking about those who have been killed. But what is even more sad is the injured people who can't get any medical attention. Over 60,000 have been injured. More than 10,000 children have lost one or both legs over the past 15 weeks. This is the Nicholas, the situation in Gaza, in short, and it's just getting worse and worse every day. Over Christmas, people got a little bit busy in general all over the world. People got busy with their celebrations and gatherings and visits and everything, which is expected. But unfortunately, people in Gaza did not get a break similar to this that everyone else in the world enjoyed. People in Gaza, their situations just got worse during Christmas.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it there, but I wanted to ask about aid and shelter. Have you had any reports or heard any stories from Palestinians on the ground in Gaza or the West Bank about access to aid or shelter?
Absolutely. I do have family and friends in Gaza, and we talk to them every now and then whenever there is internet connection or whenever there is power for them to charge their phones. We do not talk to them usually over the phone. It's hard. We get messages from them, like a WhatsApp voice message or something like that. And what they're saying to us is they can hardly find food to feed their children. So my friends and my family over there, they hardly get to eat, let's say, one apple a day or a half orange a day or a couple of dates. Their children are really starving. A few children have been reported on the news all over the world. Like, this is no secret. They starved to death. So children are starving to death. And in terms of medications, some very basic medications, like medications that people who have diabetes or blood pressure, these kind of medications are available, and drugs are available for all the people all around the world. Like, you go to any pharmacy now, anywhere in the world, anywhere in New Zealand, and you get these medications because they are very essential for those who have these kind of disease. But in Gaza, people are dying now. I'm talking about young people, young healthy people who have for example, type A diabetes. They're dying now because they don't have these basic medications. Also talking about food and about the basic medications, children and infants. Currently, there are 50,000 pregnant women in Gaza. Of the past three months of genocide, thousands of women gave birth to children. And these children need infant's milk. These children need medical aid. It's estimated that 10% of these children need medical support for them to survive. But there's definitely no medical aid or medical support. There is no infant's milk. There is nothing that would allow these children to survive. And again, this is why we say this is genocide. The war is not just against the people who are already alive. It's against the next generation. These children are being born and these women are giving birth on the street, on the corridors, with no medical attention at all, unfortunately. Most of the hospitals, by the way, in Gaza are out of order. They're not operating. And even these hospitals that are operating, they're still operating, they're struggling with huge shortage of medications and staff, because staff, unfortunately, have also been targeted by the Israeli military. Many doctors and nurses are also being or been detained by the Israeli army. So there's a huge lack of everything that people need to live.
And one of the pillars of the genocide case that South Africa took to the ICJ was about a lack of aid. And I kind of wanted to ask about that case in particular. Has that lawsuit kind of bolstered spirits of Palestinians here in Aotearoa?
Yeah, that's a good question, Nicholas. So in general, we're happy that and we're thankful and grateful for South Africa for presenting this case and bringing Israel to the court. It's really good for us, and we're happy that, as Palestinians, to see at least that Israel is being asked, is being questioned about the genocide that's been committing over the past 15 weeks. However, let me also be clear here that a couple of important things here. Now, despite the overwhelming evidence of both the genocidal actions and rhetoric from senior Israeli officials, from journalists, from Israeli military and society, it's really hard to predict the outcome of the case, as there is clearly huge pressure on the court from the United States, from Israel, and from the superpowers. We, however, as human rights, you know, supporters, as Palestinians, we hope that the ICJ will reject all pressure and make a decision to put an end to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. I think this is not just a trial for Israel. This is a trial for the international society. This is a trial for the ICJ, whether they would stand the truth and have the courage to reject that pressure from the United States and Israel. Now, in terms also of the outcome, even if the outcome was positive, and let's say the court ordered Israel to end the war in Gaza, because we know it's expected that the case is going to take a few weeks for the court, for the ICJ, to respond with a preliminary outcome, which is, it's not going to be actually a decision on whether Israel committed genocide or not. That's not going to be the case. It's going to be actually whether the court would order the Israel to mainly stop the genocide, to end the genocide in Gaza. This is going to be the case. Or stop the war in Gaza, basically, because still it won't actually make a decision on whether the genocide was committed or not. But unfortunately, even if Israel was ordered by the court to end the war in Gaza, we're not expecting this to happen, because we've seen this in the past. Israel holds the record for ignoring United Nations Security Council resolutions. Ever since its formation in May 1948, Israel has not followed any of the United Nations resolutions on Palestine. Did not follow any of them. And whether passed by the General Assembly or the Security Council, they ignored all of them. And we remember, here, especially in New Zealand, we remember Resolution 2334, sponsored by New Zealand in 2016, and that was adopted by the Security Council. This resolution, United Nations Resolution 2334, stated that Israeli settlements constitute an obvious violation of international law, and said that all settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, must end they used this word exactly. They said it must immediately and completely cease. Now, Israel is still openly funding and building settlements. More than 700,000 settlers, this is almost 10% of Israel's nearly 7 million population, now live in 150 settlements and 128 outposts dotting the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. And despite that, despite Israel ignoring all these United Nations and Security Council resolutions, unfortunately, not being actually held to account for breaching the international law. So again, we're not expecting Israel to listen to the court, but the great thing about this case, it's going to put more political pressure on Israel to abide by international law.
And I just wanted to finish up by asking what future protest action is planned in Aotearoa?
So we here in New Zealand, and New Zealanders particularly, we care a lot about human rights. And although that we seem to be in the end of the world, and people sometimes assume that, well, why would we care? But this is not the case. I've been in the streets over the past 15 weeks participating in vigils and activities and peaceful rallies, and I've seen people from all communities, from the Maori and Pacifica community, from the wider New Zealand community, all of them actually, an increasing number of people are participating in these events, because people understand that we're not selfish enough to just care about ourselves and ignore what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Gaza. The activities will continue. The rallies and the raising of awareness will continue until the end of the genocide in Gaza. And this is actually what's expected. If you remember, Nicholas, a few weeks ago there was a poll, and the vast majority of New Zealanders in that poll said that they want the New Zealand government to call on Israel to end the war in Gaza and to implement a ceasefire. But despite that, unfortunately, and although that we live in a democratic country, our government is still not listening to the people. So this is why we're going to continue doing our rallies, our peaceful activities, until the government understands that this is what the people of New Zealand want. We want a ceasefire, an immediate ceasefire right now. We want this genocide to end immediately.
That was Dr. Ahmed Sadr, National Coordinator of Palestinians in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.